Thank you, Pastor. All right. Thank you, Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara, for having me share. And we're going to talk about the power of having a pastor today. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our veterans, like we have been praying, and for all that's been done today, and all the Academy of Righteousness classes. We thank you for this church that you have established, your church, and this church is part of the church. We pray that we'll fulfill what you've called us to do, both in this service, in Esperanza, and moving forward. I pray that you would speak through me, and that each person hear your voice within my voice, and have your way today. And we thank you for the ability of the Holy Spirit to communicate what we need to hear, like the churches in Revelation. Let us hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches, and let us hear, like Pastor said, the timely message that only you can bring. And we just give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, all right, you guys going to listen quickly? Yeah. All right, praise God. That means I'm going to talk fast sometimes, okay? So, all right, number one, so we're talking about the power of having a pastor. And the power of having a pastor is not just you having a pastor and me having a pastor, but it's also the pastor knowing that they are your pastor. It works both ways. It's just like the Lord. You know, a lot of people know about the Lord, but they don't. The Lord doesn't know them. Do you know that Jesus said, he'll say to many, and this is going to be the hardest day of Jesus' life, I believe, all eternity. He's going to have to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's not you never knew me, or you never came to church, or you didn't go to Academy of Righteousness. And that's a stern word for all of us. That's why it's a timely word, because the day, capital D, the day is approaching. Things are getting crazy. Like Steve in Sign Ministries the other day, he texted, "Wow, this world is going El Pollo Loco," or something like that. And I said, okay, that's one way of putting it. And it's very, very true. All right, so the first one that we have, first point is we are like sheep. Everyone say, bah. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive, and I don't think God is either. He didn't say we are sheep. He says we are like sheep. Isaiah 53:6, please. It says that we're all in this boat together, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's, we see that in our world, do we not? You and I are making choices all the time with what we're going to believe, what we're choosing, how we're living each day. There's all kinds of, at 1 Corinthians it says, there are many voices in the world and none without signification. There's a lot of significant things to listen to. We have to choose and prioritize what's the most important for us. So the most important thing is that we remember that we are like sheep. We are like sheep. That's what God said. Actually, do you have Psalm 100 back there too? I don't think we did that first service. So second service is going to be a little bit different, praise God, because Holy Spirit's directing me. He already told me one thing that's going to be different, when Pastor Tamara was talking at the end of first service. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Come on. Hey, that's a good word right there. God made me. I didn't make myself. A lot of people need to know that, but praise God, we're in church, so we know that. Amen? But it's important to remember that we are sheep, and we want to be part of his pasture. So some characteristics of sheep, the reason I think God put it on there was, you know, sheep can be foolish, sheep can be helpless, sheep can easily stray, and they can't really be left to themselves because bad things can happen. sheep weren't made to carry burdens, unlike horses and donkeys and stuff. And Pastor Drew prophetically was talking about how we have to cast the whole burden of our care, Psalm 55:22, and cast your care on the Lord, 1 Peter. Another characteristic is sheep are not able to defend themselves. They don't pull out their samurai swords or anything like that. They got nothing. They have each other. And they have their shepherd. We're going to get to that. Amen? The Lord is our defense. The sheep can't find their own way. And I remember this is a different story than first service also. Because I got lots of stories about getting lost, all right? But I'll tell a quick story. I went to college in Oklahoma for about 6 years. I'm from Southern California, but I went out there, and I was a student at Oral Roberts University at the time, and I was visiting a buddy of mine from Bible school from the days earlier, like they mentioned, my Bible school, Rhema, and I went out to Joplin, Missouri. My college was in Tulsa, so I drove up to Jasper, Missouri, which is around Joplin, about an hour and a half away. Took the interstate. It's not freeways like California, you know, and they don't have exits every mile and a half. So I drive out there. I hang out with my buddy. It's a Sunday night. I got school the next day, so I'm driving back. And I get back, and so you've got like a 60-mile road, pay a small toll, and then you just cruise down the highway, and you get off finally in like a big city. So I got off, obviously, in Tulsa. So I get off, and then, you know, this is my city. I've lived here for about four years at that time, you know. So I should have known my way around, but I got lost. And I couldn't find my way back to, like, you know, my college. I couldn't even get, like, I made a wrong choice right away. Everyone say right away. I made a wrong choice, wrong turn right away, and I ended up on the same highway going the opposite direction. So now I'm heading back to Missouri, and I know, stuck in Lodi, and all of a sudden I'm cruising, and I know I don't have an off-ramp for like 60 miles. That's 60 miles there, pay the toll again, come back. I'm not going to get no sleep tonight, and I got school in the morning. And so they had these funny things where they had an inlet here, and then the inlet on the other side was over here. So I ended up so desperate that I did a 3-point U-turn in the fast lane. Don't tell the highway patrol from that state. And then I turned around because I was like, I am not doing that. But it was crazy. It was hysterical. It was not funny hysterical. I was like freaking out. That can be life because we are like sheep. Bah, right? And so the other thing about sheep that I want to mention, and then we're going to get right off that because he has some awesome truths for us in his word today. Sheep are content with whatever satisfies. Yikes. So when sheep are thirsty, they will stop at a puddle of dirty water, even if there is some clean water 5 feet away. They will do that. And sheep are content with filth so long as it satisfies. A good shepherd always knows what's better and best. So that's what the sheep do. So I'll tell this story again just because one of the young people liked it, so maybe somebody else will like the when I tell on myself. I was coming home from school one day. I used to walk home from school in elementary school and a couple miles or whatever, and walking home, and I'm so thirsty that day that I don't know what was going on in my head that I started sucking on the sprinklers to see if I could get water from the sprinklers, the old school ones, like the metal head. And I found a sprinkler that gave me some water, and I was happy. I was like, I did not care how dirty, you know, I was, you know, whatever grade, you know. And then I remember coming by that like the next day or a week later and thinking, oh, man, if I'm ever thirsty, I know where to go, Daniel, for some more water. But you know what? That's the sheep in me saying that, right? You know, my mama probably has some Dasani water at home, but I'm ready to suck on a sprinkler. Amen. All right, let's go to the next point number two. This is where it gets good because Jesus, everyone say Jesus. Jesus. He is our shepherd, our good shepherd. Everyone say good shepherd. Come on, there ain't nobody like Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so John 10:7 says Jesus is talking to them, and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So we understand that we're sheep. We have a tendency to do things that are silly, that don't make sense. I know we've all could raise our hand and say, why did I do that at some point in our life? You know, why did I think that? Why did I say that? Why did I go there? Why did I drink from that sprinkler? Okay, and so there is a door. There is a path. The world needs to know that, but we need to know it too as followers of Jesus Christ. we need to know that there is a path. You know, the Bible says there's a path that leads to destruction. We saw that. And Jesus said that that path is wide and many go in it. But there's a path that we want to talk, because we don't want to go on the path that leads to life, right? Jesus said there is a way. He says there's a way that leads to life. It's narrow and it's difficult. So when you go on a narrow, difficult path, man, you need some guidance. That's why I don't sit in the middle section, you know, like you guys are at, because I'm 6'11". And, you know, it's like I try to get past people, excuse me, and my big old size 16s are trying to get past, right? I mean, somebody needs somebody to help me from falling. And a narrow path is something where we need guidance. And so, guys, let's focus on where we're going and how to get there. Amen? Because, anyway, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8. Jesus, this is Jesus talking. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Remember, just remember, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and me. What are those things that are vying for our affection, vying for our attention, trying to tell us that we're going to be safe that way, trying to get us to follow those things, those belief systems, those people, whatever it happens to be. There are many of them out there, and we have to know that God's way is the best way. The Christian life is the best life. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Following Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we know that word is sozo, right? That's saved, healed, delivered, set free, given a new life, given a new path. He will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. That sheep doesn't need anything else. It has what it needs when it stays within the boundaries, when it stays following its shepherd. There's the best life ever for it. And John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. As we read this verse, notice the disparity. Remember, life is about choices. It's a good choice that we're here today, amen? I'm glad I'm here, and I know you're glad you're here, amen? And we want to invite other people to be here. But while we're here, we want to be here. We want to truly be here. We want to be getting the most out of this thing that God calls church, this thing that he calls do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. Because there's a lot of people that day is going to approach, and it's going to be steal, kill, and destroy. At that moment, there is no turning back. This is real. Hell is real. Eternity without God is real. And it's something that, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's truth, first of all. But it's something that motivates the Lord. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's partnering with God, like our pastors are partnering with God. And we're going to continue to see that. And helping people get out from that spiritual death. Death is just separation from something. So this path, if you're separated from the path, that's death. You're dead to that path. But if we die to the ways, our own ways, our own reasoning, the ways of the world, and then we're alive and we're connected to the path, this narrow path, but forget that it's narrow. It's a path that leads to life. And we can stay on it with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Amen. So the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we'll look at the difference. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Wow, which one do you guys want, life or death? Come on, life is better. Hallelujah. So it comes from Jesus being our good shepherd. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's telling us how to do it. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All right, and let's stop there and let's jump over to. And you guys know also, you guys can look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he makes me to lie down in green pastures and all those things that it says. And it comes from him being our shepherd. Let's go to our third point. Jesus, our good shepherd, gave us the gift of our pastors, Pastor Drew and Tamara at this church. Amen. And I'm focusing on them right now because really, we have other pastors. They call me Pastor Paul, Pastor Vegas, Pastor George, Pastor Lydia. But you know, really, we're in the help ministry just like you guys. You know what I mean? I appreciate when people say, you know, Pastor Paul, you're my pastor. But really, they're your pastor, and I'm just helping them. And that's important. That's unity. That's the unity that Pastor Tamron just talked about. When there's unity, there's tremendous power. And I just want to say, because I do think I missed it last service, I don't want to miss it. I really feel like God, he's been saying some things. Pastor Phil Muncy, I believe he came a month or so ago. He was really awesome in line with what I feel like God was saying. Very in tune with the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about, if you came to the leadership meeting, he talked about being a church that is together in unity, free from offenses, and talked about a church that is honoring our pastors. Honor. Everyone say honor. Honor. Honor is not a four-letter word. We can say it. We can do it. We can have it in our hearts. It's a godly thing. Amen? Amen. Honor, it comes from this. Listen, Jesus laid down his life for us. You know, we talk about Veterans Day. There is no better veteran if you look at it from that context. Son, I need you to do something that no one else anywhere ever can do. Will you do it? Yes, Father, I will go. And he says, all right, but you're going to have to leave all these powers. Leave. You're not going to be the same shape, the same form, you know. You're going to take on the body. You're going to live in a body, a baby's body. And then you're going to grow, and you're going to learn. And you're not going to have all the unlimited. You can't be everywhere at one time anymore. You can't be all powerful now anymore. You can't be these things. And did you know that Jesus said, yes, Father? 100% yes. And he was born as a baby. And do you know that we're going to be able to see the scars on his hands for all eternity? We're going to see him. He doesn't go back to being omnipotent. He became a man. He's still God. But he became a man, because that's called being our kinsman redeemer. That's the good look in the book of Ruth. And there was no one out there that could save them except somebody who was related to her, and yet in a different class, a different amount of power, and that was Boaz. And so the kinsman redeemer, there's only one person. He had to become like us so he could be tempted. He had to... yet he had to have the power of sinlessness and being connected completely with his Father. And so he is our ultimate veteran. Amen. He accepted the mission and he accomplished it completely. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Say amen. Our good shepherd. So if our good shepherd, and nobody loves us like Jesus, if our good shepherd gave us, I just go to Ephesians 4:8, please. I just love this. The greatest gift mankind has ever known, Jesus Christ, gave gifts to men. Gave us the Holy Spirit. That's God. That's another version of God, right? It's the third person of the Trinity. But therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he knew that he could not stay and hold our hand physically. He gave us another comforter, but he gave, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. But he knew that we're sheep. We need somebody we can see. We need someone who can talk to us. You know what I mean? Someone who can sometimes grab us by the ear. Hello, somebody, in a loving way, and say, I'm right here. Can I talk to you? And we need that because we're sheep. Therefore, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He brought a lot of people with him who were in the holding tank called paradise, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Look at verse 11. 11, please. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers. Now we go from the greatest gift of all, Jesus, the divine, tempted at all points, yet without sin, perfect. Perfect. Holy Spirit, perfect. Everyone say perfect. Perfect. Heavenly Father, they're all the three in one. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Now he's got some people, and none of us are perfect. But the perfect one has given us people that he has called in his sovereignty, in his you know, purpose, his wisdom. And it's like Pastor Drew was saying this morning with to the people in prayer. By the way, prayer is a wonderful place. It's a powerful time to come. It's 7:30 on Sunday mornings. I invite all of you. You are all invited. Most of you come, and it's a great time. At the end of that time, he talks about how if we honor our pastor, we're honoring God. So we see a connection. There really is one shepherd, and it's Jesus Christ. Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara are the under-shepherds. And then if I'm a shepherd, I've worked with the youth and the kids and Academy of Righteousness and whatever else. I've pretty much done everything here except I've never changed a diaper, praise God. But that's all you ladies. Okay. You can exclude me. I will not be offended at that. Anyway, and then, boop, under-shepherd Pastor Paul, under-shepherd Pastor Vegas, who does an incredible amount here, and I can go on. Another great example about getting ahead of ourselves. So he gave gifts unto men. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. So you guys doing okay? Yeah. All right. All right. Let's go into, let's go to Jeremiah 3:15. Can't miss that. So I will give you shepherds. This is God's promise. He's talking to backslidden Israel here in Jeremiah 3. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. Have the heart of God. I have, when that story took place, and I awkwardly, because I just love how God called me to like a church that was built for, you know, people who are 5'8 or shorter. Or over there anyway, I'm just kidding. But some of the doorways, I'm like, you're so cool, Lord. You just called me. So I duck underneath and I meet Pastor Drew. That happened a little over 14, 15 years ago. So I could tell you from that time that our pastors have God's heart. I've seen it. I've seen how they've managed and taught and shared. And it will get to me because I've been one of those sheep too. Okay. But I just want to say that right now, and maybe if we have time, if Pastor doesn't pull the hook, then we'll have some. I could tell stories forever. You know, we've joked for years. Well, when are we writing our book? And not in a negative way, but just like, wow, we've been, you know, up in the attic. You know, wow, that was amazing. You know, one of the guys in the corner saying, "Jesus, help me!" You know, because it was, and he was serious. And I'm kind of glad at that point that I was 6'11". I didn't fit in the corner because I would still be there today. You guys would have my funeral over there like Pastor Paul. He was a good guy. He lives in our attic forever. All right. We're going to get into biblical examples now. Biblical examples, because that's really what the New Testament, most of the New Testament, are examples of a pastor. Or apostolic authority and apostles are basically the same concept. They're pastors that travel around and start different churches. It's the pastor's heart. It's God's heart helping people in the different locations, right? Galatia, there is a group of churches in Asia Minor called Galatia, and they wrote them letters. And a great study for you guys is the book of Acts, and you start going through it. In fact, we're going to jump into it right now. Can you guys put Acts 15? So Paul gets saved, radically saved. Everyone say radical. Radical. All of our salvations should be radical. Amen. We went from death to life. By the way, you know that you've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. Oh, hallelujah. Now, so what happens is Barnabas and Paul, they go on what we call the first missionary journey. They're just on fire. Just telling everybody about Jesus, telling everybody about the love of God. Paul's like, I can't keep this a secret. And he does have his time where he sets himself apart and he gets taught things from God that really none of the other apostles knew. But that was the only time that happens. And now it's all has to be in line with Scripture. But now Barnabas was determined, and even that was in line with the Old Testament because he was a scholar of the Old Testament. But Barnabas... Now they finished their first journey. Let me give you some background on this. They finished their first journey. But there's a guy, it's Barnabas, who was an encourager, big time encourager, awesome. Saw the best in everybody. Paul was a cool dude. Awesome. We know he loved God. Self-sacrificing, laid down his life. We might talk about that if we have time or whatever, how he just put himself in harm's way. But he was intense. He was like, we're going. Let's go. No, ain't no bathroom stops. Okay, we are not getting off the freeway. Okay, honey, because we're going to Antioch of Pisidia. You know what I mean? And so I could imagine how intense he was. So there's it's tough traveling and doing this stuff. So Barnabas and Paul and Mark, all of a sudden, this guy, Mark, John Mark, he bails. He's like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. He can't handle it. It's just too tough. He leaves. So he leaves, and now let's watch what happens. They're about to start on their second journey. Barnabas was determined, because remember, he always believes the best. I don't know if you know this about Pastor Drew. Pastor Drew always, he's like, everything's, what is it, pink colored glasses? Rose colored glasses, thank you. Sorry, brother. Not pink, rose. Anyway, which is a good quality. That's the quality of God. The love covers sin. Flesh exposes. Hey, remember that when you're on social media. Love covers, flesh exposes. All right, watch this. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. He was like, no, we're not taking him. Watch this. Then the contention, they were in each other's faces. Whatever. We know there was a disagreement here for sure. It became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So Barnabas goes with Mark. Paul, who does Paul take? Silas, good job, Tony. Paul and Silas, and that's where Acts 16, where they're at midnight, they praise the Lord, and they went all throughout. And we don't really know a lot what happened with Paul or with Mark and Barnabas, but we kind of, because Luke traveled with them. Everyone say Luke. Luke went with Paul. Luke was a total like right hand man. He's a physician, but he was really smart. And apparently, when he wrote, they could understand his writing, unlike doctors. Ha ha ha. And so, anyway, he was a physician, and he wrote down Luke, and he wrote down Acts. He wrote what was happening. Well, he went with Paul, so he couldn't write what was happening with Mark and Barnabas, John Mark. So let's go to the next verse. I think that's it, though. Yeah, so he went with Silas. Now, I want you guys to notice something. I love this story within the Word, because the Bible's awesome. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:9. And let's read a couple of verses there. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. And we talked about it in the last service. This is another example on the opposite end that Demas in Colossians 4 talks about. And because 2 Timothy was written in the 60s, not the 1960s, the AD 60s. And the Colossians was written in like 55, 56, when Paul was first imprisoned. And then, so between 55 and 60-something, Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. So that's another theme there, that no matter how strong we are, no matter how connected to the church, connected even to our pastors, connected to the Lord, no matter how strong a move of God we had in our life or have it right now, we are sheep, and we have to stay focused. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Everyone say, I'm going to stay with the Lord by the grace of God. Yeah, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not, you know, when the word comes forth, you either get mad or you get glad. Say, I'm going to get glad. I choose to get glad. If somebody, we don't have to get offended, like Pastor Tamron just said. And I'm telling you, we have an awesome church where if there is something that is offending you or something that's not right, go to your pastors. Come to one of us, but if it has to do with something, then we'll I mean, we're here to help, so it's not gonna, we don't want it to be like Moses and his, you know, there's like 500 people in line, and his father-in-law says, why don't you take care of the little things, and then, anyway, so, but you get what I'm saying. Don't keep it, don't do nothing. Because the biblical example, if a brother wrongs you, or you think you're wrong, that's what happens a lot, is just miscommunication, and it's just, you get together. And we've all gotten together. I've been there. I've been called out on stuff. Praise God. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel good at the moment, but it's necessary, right? It's like that sheep steps on a little. I mean, our feet are important. You don't really, maybe you're like me. Maybe you take your feet for granted until you step on a tack. Or you step on a, you know, spur or something like that. Okay, I don't care how much it hurts to take that thing out of your foot. It hurts more to let it stay in there and get infected, and that's not fun. Can you say amen? That's where we have to choose. Am I going to allow it? Am I going to allow the world to be taken out of me and become, you know, more useful for the kingdom of God and closer to God, etc., and a disciple like these guys were? You know, we looked at the in Colossians. I mean, you got Timothy was with Paul. You got Tychicus. You got Aristarchus, and all kinds of other cool names. These guys are like love God, and they show it practically by being with Paul, being Mark and Barnabas. So let's keep going here. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And verse 11. But watch this. Only Luke is with me. Watch this, though. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Hallelujah. Here's a good story. Mark was like, talk to the hand because the face don't want none, Paul was saying. He's like, do not let him get near me. I mean, you know, I might be exaggerating. But still, I'll go back to that verse, please. Now he's telling, bring Mark. So, in that time that Mark had with Barnabas, something happened that Barnabas was a good fit for Mark. Can you kind of read between the lines? Barnabas was, his name means son of consolation. He's an encourager. And I mentioned that a couple times, but I don't think I can over-mention it. And that kind of goes to show you also how important it is as a church to meet each other. How many of you feel like, I mean, I'll raise my hand because there's some people in here I don't know. I never met you. But I want to meet you. And I hope you want to meet me. And that should be the same. You shouldn't just, I mean, there's somebody here that might be your Barnabas. Or maybe you're the Barnabas for a Mark. Man, that is so important. We talked about that for over and over again with the youth. Over the years, so important for them, you know, because what the very last section of the Old Testament, very last verse of Malachi, or I'm part Italian, so I call him Malachi. And Malachi says, the hearts of the fathers will turn back to the children, and the hearts of the children will turn back to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. The remedy for the curse, which is separation from the path that God has for us, is to be connected to the right people. And I'll tell you what, that starts with your pastors. But there's also other people in here. There are cornerstones, you know, and I'll get myself in trouble, but I'll, you know, like the Gallegos family, they're awesome. You know, we heard from Joshua today. What a blessing it was when they came to this church. The other Gallegos family is, wow, we're blessed with Gallegos, George and Joanne and them. You know, and there's all kinds of people. There's different callings, but they're all important in the same body. You know, and I'll use my buddy Tony for an example. Yeah, don't lean over and talk to your neighbor right now because I'm talking about you. Tony. He used to, that guy, how many of you would go to church every single day? He's the first one to be like, I'll be there every day, which is good. And he literally would go to church every day he could. And on Thursdays, we don't have anything. So Tony would start going to men's ministries all over the world. Somewhere between East LA and here, I was like, He came to Pastor. He told Pastor, Pastor, man, I'm going to go to a men's ministry. Like I want to. Right? I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd. But Pastor knows that Tony is his beloved sheep. Right? So what ends up happening, because he goes to his pastor and, you know, or maybe his pastor went to him and called him out. Either way, it's all good because it's all godly. Because the pastor went to him and was like, excuse me, what you doing on Thursday? That's a totally okay too. That is within the, a sheep is running off from the pasture and is running away. Is it okay for that shepherd to run after it? Even grab it by its ear or leg or tackle it? I mean, because it's heading for destruction. And sometimes we ask the wrong questions, like, well, am I going to go to hell if I do this? But we need to be asking, how can I stay so close to God and his work, the good works that he's called me to do? How can I get closer instead of, well, I can go this far and still not be, you know what I mean? So we have to, it's important to ask the right questions. So to Pastor Drew, authorizes or blesses, sanctions a men's ministry at Hope Community Church every other Thursday. And he's, I'd love to hear that conversation. Pastor, who's going to lead it? You are, buddy. You are my man. And you know what? I've seen Tony grow so much. He's always faithful, but I've seen him grow as a minister, grow as a communicator, grow as a shepherd. Again, under shepherd. I mean, like, if I miss a men's ministry, he's texting me. Probably text. He knows who's here and who's not. I think maybe as good as anybody in this church. That's a godly characteristic. You know, I could go through Brian and Arlene too. You know how they're a blessing, and so many families. I mean, they're just like here for the purposes of God. But I want you to understand that Mark became useful again for the ministry. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share. I've been there. I've been in the earlier place, you know, where, you know, I was not, because that's what Paul was saying. You're not useful. I know it might be harsh, but, and maybe Barnabas knew it too. Maybe his point wasn't, maybe it wasn't just trying to argue with Paul, but he saw, you know, like they asked Michelangelo once, he's the one that, I know the Sistine Chapel, but he did sculpting, right? He's the one, and they said, and he takes this big old block of marble, and how do you make that from a big old block of marble? He says, that's easy. I just see what I want, I see what it's going to be, and I chip away everything that's not supposed to be there. I see the angel. If he's going to make a marble angel, right? I see the angel. And then, oh, that's not supposed to be there because it's going to be like that. So chip, 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 chip. That's God. That's our pastors. And so there's chipping. There's cutting. There's, you know, here, listen. John 15 says, for those who bear fruit, you're going to be pruned. For those who don't bear fruit, you're going to be pruned and thrown into outer darkness. So guess what? You're pruned if you do and you're pruned if you don't. So you might as well do it. Amen. We're going to get pruned either way. Might as well end up shiny and looking like an angel and producing fruit for God at the end of it. So I want there my heart today and what I believe. And by the way, I told First Service, Pastor Drew didn't ask me. He asked me to share. I said, I was gracious. I said, what would you like me to share about? He says, whatever you have on your heart. And I didn't go to this one right away. God went to this one after I went to a couple other ones, but I did want something that, like Pastor Chandler said in the first service, that I have walked in, but I haven't walked in it perfectly by any stretch. I've walked in staying here for over 14 years because I made a decision to stay here. I made a decision that God called me here, and it's only going to be God who will ever move me somewhere else. I have very few churches that I've attended. I had my church that I got saved at. I had my church in Oklahoma. And when I was there, when I went to Oral Roberts University, I went to a Bible college, Raymer, for 3 years, or 2 years. And then I went to ORU, and I went there for 3 years, graduated, and During those 3 years, I stayed with the same pastor because it was 7 miles away in Tulsa. And that's where I wanted to go. That's where I felt God. That's where God had called me to be. But you know what? I did get caught up at a few points because, you know, and for any Christian college students, you know, it's easy to go, oh, that's a popular place. Friday night, go to this church. You know what I'm saying? I did that some. But God called me and said, wait a minute. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Because why do we think that we go to college and we can just start throwing away the things we learned and start sowing different seeds and get the results that we wanted and we learned about when we were kids, right? And I knew better, and so God called me on that. So we don't have the right, we don't have the power to just call to say that that's where I want to be somewhere else. I don't like it here. I'm going somewhere else. We can't choose our church like we choose where we're going to eat later. Am I being too harsh? Am I being too bold? That's right. I was going to say that. Your only choice is Auntie Norma cooking or is Dolores and Anthony cooking, because that's where I'm going to be. Amen. So anyway, do you guys understand? You hear what I'm saying? Listen. Why can I say that confidently? Not only because I believe it and I walk in it, but also because Jesus is the good shepherd. I, along with you, my friends, are a sheepy, and I cannot pick, you know what I mean? And not that I'd want to pick anybody else. I'm just saying, as I honor my pastors, I honor the Lord. And I'm telling you, and I do sense this deep in my spirit, and it's been brewing for a few weeks, ever since I think Pastor Phil really kind of got it going, but we have some great days ahead, but we need to have honor. We need to have honor. So maybe that's why God wanted me up here today, because our pastors, and thank God, they're going to teach the whole counsel of God. There are shepherds that feed us with wisdom and understanding, shepherds after his heart, and they'll tell us to do this. But hopefully I pray that maybe it'll mean something different for you that I'm saying it, because I'm no different from you. I mean, I work a job down the street, you know, worked in this area, you know, for over a decade. And yet this is my church, and they're my pastors, and I'm planted here, and anything that I'm able to do that touches somebody's life is because of that. You know, because of I'm planted in the house of God. And I think it's really important on the spiritual side, and it has practical applications, that we recognize, like we said in the beginning, that don't just recognize them as your pastors, but operate with them as your pastors. Are you allowing them to put you to work in the kingdom, even if it's where you didn't think you'd be, because you know that you're called to good works? And more than that, are you going to them? The best heart would be, you know, Paul, the day he got saved, is like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Actually, he said it right when he got saved. Lord, what do you want me to do? And that same, like, right after he got his eyesight back and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he started telling people. No one could stop him. I love Paul because, watch this. The Holy Spirit, I've never seen this from anybody else in the Bible. The Holy Spirit had to tell him where not to go. Don't go to Asia Minor. Okay, bro? Okay. He went every single place he could go unless God told him not to. And I think sometimes we do the opposite. If I hear a, you know, special word from God and three angels. But my point is, there's something for all of us to do here. And it comes back to honor. But I'm telling you that there's a special blessing attached to that. Psalm 133, it's not in the notes, but I'll close with this. That's in a little bit, Tony. We're going to munch. Psalm 133, 133rd Psalm. It's a short one, but it's a good one. Yep. Oh, you guys have it. You guys are fast. You're faster than my iPad. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You understand the unity that We can't have unity if the pastors, I mean, it starts with us saying, Pastor, you're my pastor. There's a guy that came to our church and he went up to pastor after the service and says, you're my pastor. And what did he say? I'm your sheep and you're my pastor, or something to that effect. All right, we'll leave it at that, even if I just lied. But hey, how many of you guys know that's a good heart? That's the way we should be. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he has a couple cool word pictures. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. This is what I want to get to. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There is a blessing that God is commanding on this church, and I believe that we're getting there. We're getting formation. You know, we're getting information, and a lot. And you guys are all part of it. But it's important. So there are some pieces that, how do I say it? Like that as they come into alignment with what with the pastors and with the vision. And specifically on the role of honor, and respecting what the pastor says. As that happens, I want you to know that I'm not just saying that, and it's for all of us, including myself, but we're not just saying that with an empty promise. There's a strong, not even a promise, a commandment promise, if you will, that's attached to it. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. The blessing. The blessing is not just, here's a quarter. The blessing is the presence of God. The blessing is the strong presence of God. And come to your pastors and ask them, what's the history of this church? There is some tremendous history. God has spoken many things over this church, and I really believe he's getting us to more finely tuned to take that next step, which has a tremendous impact on the community, but that, guys, Jesus is called, God's called the desire of the nations. Did you know that? Every person in this world, truly, if they really could look inside, they desire him. They desire a relationship with him. Nothing else will satisfy. We saw it in Psalm 100. He made us. We didn't make him. We didn't make ourselves. When he made us like sheep because he wanted us to be dependent upon him, because he wanted us to have a relationship with him. And the desire of the nations as he descends on this church in a move of God, which this is how it happens, that is what will draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God has said we're going to be like an oasis. And I was praying it earlier that the rivers of living water, those come out of us. To each other. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time together. And I just pray that your word would run its course and be glorified in us and those that hear us. I pray that that the love of God would draw us to do what you've called us to do and make any adjustments that we need to make in our lives. And that each one of us that is called to have our pastors right here in the front row, that not only we would know that, but our pastors would know that, and that there would be a healthier, there's, for many people it can't get healthier because it's already super healthy, but just a healthier connection to the head and what you're doing on this earth in this location, a healthier connection to the life that Jesus came to give us, and abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for being just sticking with us and being patient today as we take time to honor and add the service in for the veterans. That was great. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very encouraged today. You know what? I love what God is doing in my own heart, and I sense that it's not just me, because many of the things that Paul just said right at the end there, it is exactly what the Spirit of God has been speaking to me, that we have to, if we will, I hear so many believers, especially, they want the presence of God. They want revival. They want the power of God. But the question is, do we want it enough that we would do our part? And our part is that honor and the unity. That's our part. If you didn't get a chance to hear the message, it's on the Hope app. You can go to the Hope app. And you'll hear the message that was spoke to us a month ago, a month and a half ago, whatever it was, by Phil Munsey in the training. You'll see first service, second service, and then you'll see, I don't know, maybe it's just a blonde moment for me, I don't know, but touch the picture of Phil Munsey, and that's the actual training, okay? Once you get into the media center, and then you'll see first service, second service, just go above and just touch the before the first service and second service, just touch that and it goes. And it'll take you right into the training. And it was a word that is a timely word for our church to hear. And I believe, really, if I could be at other churches all over the place, I bet you that the Spirit of God is speaking that to those who are His churches, who can hear Him. He's saying it. And are we hearing it? But we're hearing it. You know what? And I hear it, and I hear it, and I hear it, and I hear it. And I know that if we will humble ourselves and let everything be spirit first and everything else second, that we are about to have some of the greatest days. I don't know about you guys, but I hear about Azusa Street, and I hear about some of the times that have taken place, and I just go, wow, what must that have been like to be in that kind of presence of God, that kind of power, to see what those people saw, to experience it and be part of it. What must that have been like? I have thought about that time and time again. I can never not put myself in that moment. But we are on the cusp of that moment. And so much greater. And it is completely up to us whether we go there or not. I believe God has got many things positioned as we stand. How bad do we want it? Bad enough to discipline ourselves and to do our part? To put our attitudes aside, our feelings aside, our emotions aside, our thoughts, our opinions, our pride? Will we just come together as God's people with one purpose? Loving one another no matter what? In all the years that we've known Pastor Paul, everyone hasn't been a sunshine day. Does that surprise you? You know what? We've bumped each other. And we've had confrontation with one another. And we've had misunderstandings. But why are we 15 years later still together? Because the same thing that brought us together in the very beginning, which was, you know what, hearing the voice of God. We wanted to be with like-minded when the Spirit of God spoke. When I told Pastor, you know what, I think we need to go and put this ad in on Rhema's website. Why did we do that? Well, because we wanted someone who thought like we thought about the Word of God, someone who believed like we believed about the Word of God, someone who knew who God was and would let God's Word be uncompromised. And we think we were aware of the ministry that was taught at Rhema. So we said, well, it's just what the Spirit of God put in me. We need someone from Rhema. And so when we put that ad there, Pastor Paul answered, and he was the only one who answered that ad. We have both, all, and many of you too. See, Paul just hasn't just bumped into me here. He's bumped into you too. He is an imperfect man in the body of Christ. is we are also imperfect men and women in the body of Christ. And we misunderstand each other, and we get our feelings hurt, and things happen. But the reason why we still stand is stronger today than we ever have is because we are both submitted completely to the Word of God. We've known Paul for so long. He's not only part of my church family, he's part of my family. And the children have sometimes something, what's the matter? Well, Pastor Paul, they'd be crying or something. And I say, well, you know what I know about Pastor Paul? Just give him a little bit of time. See, you know what I know about him? Oh, yeah, he has flesh. I know that. And his flesh reacts sometimes to things. But here's one thing I can say. You know what? He has always responded then by the Spirit. See, I know the Spirit of God can talk to him, so I would say to my children, just give him some time. I promise you, he'll come back and he'll end up apologizing to you. Amen. That's what I've always experienced from him. I think you're going to see that. And sure enough, that has happened. Why? Because he loves God with everything in him. And yeah, he's got that flesh and he does silly things and whatever. But then he always, you know what, the Spirit of God says, hey, he's submitted to the Word. And the Word pulls him back online. Amen. That should be all of us. See, we all got that flesh. We all got that. But are we submitted to the Word, and does it pull us back online? That's how it's supposed to be. And so I believe that is us. I believe that many of us are hearing the voice of God like we haven't heard him before. And we're not just hearing it, but we're stepping and we're going to obey him. And we're going to start setting things aside that should not be front and center. Amen? Amen. Amen.